Matthew 16, verses 24 to 28 tells us, "Then Jesus told his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." These verses portray a powerful call on who Christ is and the importance of following him. And not only following him, I'm talking truly following him. Following is becoming kind of an everyday term for us now, isn't it? I mean, it's not something like in the past where you could just kind of follow something loosely. I'll give you an example. Like, I'm a huge Steelers fan. I know I've got other Steelers fans here in the house with me, so I feel okay telling you that. I'm a huge Steelers fan. Well, back in maybe, let's say, the 70s and 80s, I think it was a little bit easier to be a Steelers fan. You would turn on the game on Sunday, you would watch the game. Maybe every once in a while there would be like a feature in a newspaper that would talk about a player or something going on or something like that. And that's all it took to follow the Steelers back then. But today, following the Steelers, at least for me, looks a little bit different. You see, I follow all of the fan pages, and I follow the players, and I follow the coaches. I follow the media outlets that follow the team. I know Kenny Pickett's birthday is on Tuesday. I know TJ Watt's favorite foods. I know their third-string quarterback has three dogs. That's what following looks like for me. And it's not just my generation, believe it or not. It's the generations, you know, it's expanding beyond just us. It's we follow a number of different things in this way, right? Whether it be an artist, an influencer, a politician, an athlete, a pastor, an activist, a movement, a news story, an organization, anything in between. We find things we like, and we find things we're passionate about, and we follow those things. And we can also follow and consume these ways and these things in different ways. Maybe it's one of those things you're passionate about and become borderline obsessive over, like me with the Steelers. Or maybe it's something that just shows up on your feed one day, you like it, and you move on, and that's all it takes to follow them. While it can be fun to follow a lot of these things, there is kind of a warning that's attached to many of them. They can be fleeting. They can let you down. There are things that can occur that might disappoint you with the things you follow. But our verses today present a powerful call on following Christ and why following Christ is fundamentally different than any other form of following we could do. Our verses today urge us to deny ourselves, take up our crosses, and truly follow him. In a world where following can lead to disappointment and unfulfillment, we are invited to explore how following Christ should look different. So how do we follow Jesus like this? How do we ensure that we're following in this radical way we're called to? This morning, we're going to tackle some of the ways and why we should follow Jesus closely. I could keep us here for hours on hours about why we should follow Jesus, but today we're really going to hone in on three key parts. And the first part of this, Jesus tells us to do, is to deny ourselves. Matthew 16, 24 tells us, "Then Jesus told his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" What does it even look like to deny yourself? What does that even mean, to deny yourself? Dr. Warren Wiersbe, and I apologize if Dr. Warren Wiersbe is watching this and I pronounced your last name wrong, but that's what I'm going with. He was a pastor, an author, and a theologian who attempted to define this concept of denying yourself. He says, denying yourself means to give yourself wholly to Christ. It means to identify with Christ in his rejection, shame, suffering, and death. Or in other words, to follow Jesus is to realize that I can expect the same from life that he received. Society might reject me, shame me, and there's some degree of persecution as I fail to fit within the world. Which, I mean, just as a quick side note, isn't this something that Jesus did so perfectly? Right? As he failed to fit into the world, he walked across that line. He came as fully God and fully man with the intention of disrupting everything and changing the way people looked at the Father. He called out hypocrisy while never falling into it himself. He stood and showed what it meant, what love meant in a world that was all too familiar with calling people undesirable. So with that backdrop and that definition, there's a lot that's packed into that ask of denying ourselves. I mean, the us that Jesus is telling us to deny, it's because he knows who we are and who we can be. We can hold grudges, we can be judgmental, we can hate others, we can live by our own rules, we complain, we rebel, we put ourselves first, and so on. But Jesus, when we agree to start following him, calls us to a higher standard. In Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, he tells us about what happens when we accept Christ into our lives. He says, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. This new creation, the one that is called and meant to be more Christ-like, is the one we embrace. It's the one that strives to follow Christ's example, and it's the one that is asked to deny the judgmental, hateful, and self-focused side of ourselves. Does that make sense? When we follow Christ, we are a new creation, and we work to emulate Christ with the new creation, denying the old. Christ's ask of us to deny ourselves is an ask that puts him back at the center of our lives. It's giving Jesus the control room and allowing him to shape our thoughts, actions, and decisions. Jesus asking us to take up our cross is him ultimately asking us to crucify our selfish desires and submit to his lordship. So we have this backdrop of denying ourselves. So now the next part that we have to focus in on, and I think it's another part of the call that we hear in the scripture from this morning, is we have to come at our faith with authenticity. What a big word that is in 2023, right? To be authentic. Because so often today, can it feel like people are not authentic? Jesus asks this in, I think, an incredibly thought-provoking way. He says, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? This question challenges us to reflect on the eternal significance of our choices. In a world that is ever increasingly obsessed with materialism and worldly success, we are reminded that our souls have immeasurable worth. Authenticity is hard to come by these days, and to give a contrast to something we were talking about earlier, especially, I think, on social media, and this is going to make me sound old. I think a lot of you will appreciate what I'm about to say, and I'm about to rag on social media, but I also know a lot of you may love social media, but I'll say this. On a lot of social media, I know, I'm sure you all see it, there's always those perfect families that have the perfect lives. They're always in Florida or Cancun or on a boat or doing something like that. They've got the two perfect kids. They've got all of the accoutrements of the perfect world and the perfect life, when reality for that family might not actually look like they're always on boats and always in Florida and always doing fun things. And I think there's the opposite end of that on social media, too. I think sometimes you can hop on social media and all you see is the negativity, right? You see people bickering and fighting over things that are going on in our world, things that ultimately we can't control or whatever it is, but you see it every day. And it always seems to be, at least for me, one of these two extremes, unless I'm focusing on the Steelers. That's more of a fun thing, you know? Our relationship with God, it has to be different than the ones that often get portrayed on social media. When Jesus is speaking in John 4, 23 to 24, he tells us, "But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." God desires true worship that flows from the depths of our hearts. Being authentic allows us to come before him with transparency and vulnerability. It opens up that avenue that pushes us to a stronger relationship with our Savior, and a closer following of that Savior. It allows us to acknowledge our weakness, our struggles, and our joys, and celebrate God's strength through it all. And this authenticity doesn't just stop at the amount you put in. Following Jesus with authenticity should create a genuine transformation that promotes growth in your own life. Authenticity leads to the renewing of our minds by not being conformed to the patterns of the world, but being transformed through our faith. It's a transformation that goes beyond putting on a facade, but allowing God to change us from the inside out, aligning our hearts, our minds, and our actions to his will. There's an important note that I want to attach on to this concept of authenticity. Especially if you're new to the faith, I think this is important to hear. Following Christ, you know, we hear this all the time, is often messier than we might think. You know, things still happen, things still come up, and we still struggle. You know, it's the sentiment is always like no one ever promised that the second you accepted Christ, the rest was going to be sunshine and rainbows. Often we can feel like we're barely holding it together. Insert whatever it is here for you, but whatever it is, often we struggle to hold it together. But the importance of following Christ and doing so with authenticity and sincerity are important. That word sincerity I love so much. And there might be more people in here than you would think that actually know where this word sincerity comes from. But if not, welcome, Mr. Radensky, to Spencer's history class. We're going to break down the word sincerity. He'll be proud of me for this one, at least I hope. So the Romans were in love with Greek culture and Greek imports. And these imports became all the rage among upper-class Romans. Greek sculptures made out of marble was one of the most highly sought after treasures in Greek society. But because many of these sculptures were already hundreds of years old, many were damaged. Traders discovered if they had placed wax in the damaged parts of the sculptures, they looked like new. But of course, over time, the wax would harden and change color into an ugly yellow, thereby exposing the inauthentic parts of the sculptures. Thus, after a while, vendors needed a way to differentiate their old sculptures or their broken sculptures from the new and the good sculptures, not new but still intact. To do this, they would mark the sculptures that were undamaged works by putting a phrase on it, and the phrase said sin, S-I-N-E, or the Latin word for without, and then cera, C-E-R-A, the Latin word for wax. So we get the term sincera, without wax, or sincere. Much like the wax-filled statues, our inauthenticity, it might look good for that first second, it might look nice and white and new, but that ugly yellow starts to show itself after a while, doesn't it? It's important to remain sincere and authentic in our relationships and allowing Jesus to work with us where we're at. My final point to why following Jesus is different is because it can be dangerous. Jesus taught values that often challenged the norms and values of his world. Those same values often challenge the norms and values of our world. Jesus' teaching on humility, selflessness, love for enemies, and sacrificial living goes against a lot of the selfishness, pride, revenge, and materialism we see in the world today. Jesus reminds us on the cross, he had so much love for us that he suffered for us that we might have enough faith to suffer with him. Following Jesus means embracing values that might clash with what society expects of you. I'm saying all this knowing that we're pretty lucky to live where we do and to get together as freely as this. While our values may clash with our outside world, rarely are we in any physical danger for what we believe. We get to wake up, drive to a big building, gather together as a family, and worship our Lord. But to put it bluntly, in many places, this isn't the case. I mean, some of Jesus' teaching are so radical, people do not want people to be talking about this stuff. Many people woke up to travel undercover, to meet in a basement with three or four other people, to worship in hushed tones for fear they may become a martyr. Their danger is very present, very physical, and very real. To give you one such example of this, Billy was born into a religious family in Somalia. His father was a tribal and religious leader who had memorized the entire Quran. And out of curiosity, Billy started studying an English Bible alongside his Quran. After 3 years of study, he converted to Christianity. He learned a lot from Christian radio broadcasts from Kenya. And it was on the radio that he had first heard the voice of another Somali who was also a Christian. 6 years after his conversion, Billy met his first Christian Somali, and together as underground Christians, they gathered 14 believers and started an underground church. However, a year later, a group of Muslims began persecuting Ben's church and killed 12 of the 14 members. That faith is our faith. I mean, that Savior, their Savior, is our Savior. It's the same thing. The same radical obedience and authenticity and love they showed is the same radical obedience and authenticity and love we're called to show. Following Jesus means fully submitting to a Savior who has allowed you to be reborn in his name so you might defend his no matter the circumstances. I'm going to say that one more time. Following Jesus means fully submitting to a Savior who has allowed you to be reborn in his name so you might defend his no matter the circumstances. I promise you, the second you take that leap of faith, the second you start following Jesus, there's another danger that comes with that. The enemy is ready for you too. There's a lot of danger in that. It comes on you to make choices that are honoring to God. It's on you to allow Jesus' example and defend yourself against the enemy. There's a story about this youth group who had this big overnight little thing going on. So they had this big overnight retreat at a lodge, and at one point in the night, all of the boys ended up kind of in their own little section. They were all together, and all of the girls ended up in their own little section. and they were all together. And I know Stacy's not in here right now, but I'm sure she would agree with me. If you ever see this scenario, you should start to worry. It means things are being plotted, schemed, whatever it is. In this particular scenario, when all of the boys got together, they said, hey, great idea, let's scare the girls. Always a great idea, am I right, guys? So these boys, they go and they find a youth leader and they tell the youth leader their plan, and I'm guessing this youth leader looks something like me because immediately the youth leader said, that's a great idea, did not think about any potential consequences, just said, hey, it's going to be funny. At least for a second it will be. So sure enough, the youth leader ends up getting all of the girls to go and build a fire at this lodge that they're at. So they're all sitting around this fire and all the boys are hiding. And the youth leader, to really set the tone, starts telling scary stories, you know, the whole authentic look. You know, he's got the flashlight and he's got it shined up into his face and he's telling all the lights are dim and down, it's getting spooky, and he's telling the ghost stories. And finally he gets to the part, kind of the climax of the story, where the ghost jumps out, whatever the scary part of the story was, and all of the boys jump out and scare the girls. And sure enough, you know how girls get scared, sorry ladies, but they run around, ah! Except there was one young girl in this circle that was maybe a little bit more rough around the edges, didn't like the fact that the boys had scared her, so she decided to grab that lamp that had been sitting behind her the whole time and turn that thing into a lightsaber. She starts swinging it around, trying to go after the boys, trying to hit them. All of a sudden, the boys have more fear than the girls did in that moment. And what I'm trying to tell you is, through all of this, sometimes when the enemy comes after you, you have to grab your lamp and start swinging that thing. Right? When have we become so timid as Christians? I mean, I feel like I see this all the time. Sometimes we get these attacks and the danger comes and we just back off. Instead of holding up our lamp, turning that thing into a lightsaber and saying, back off. That's what following Jesus looks like. It's active, not passive. It requires us to actively deny ourselves while being authentic and acknowledging there's danger in that. If we want to do this well, it means we got to do two things that help us follow Jesus closely and well. Point one, we've got to be in our lamp. Sorry, we got to be in our lamp. We got to be in Scripture. I mean, the Bible is God's word that reveals his character. How are we supposed to follow Jesus when we don't take the time to get to know him and understand his values? Reading the Bible shows us key aspects of how to gain knowledge and wisdom, which provides guidance in transforming our lives. And point two, I'll bet you're ahead of me on this one, we got to pray. And we got to be in that constantly. I mean, prayer, it's a vital means of communing with God and developing a personal relationship with him and seeking his guidance, comfort, and provision. If we're trying to follow Jesus well, we have to develop our relationship with the Father. I mean, think about it just on an earthly level here with me for a second. The more you communicate with someone, the better and more developed your relationship with that person is going to be. If you're trying to establish a relationship with the Father, prayer is different because it's establishing a connection with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and acknowledges our reliance on God for every aspect of our life. I know for me personally, I have days where I can turn the way I follow God into the same way I follow some people on social media. I wake up, I scroll, I see their post, I like it, and I go about my day. I wake up, I pray, and I just go about my day. It's enough Jesus for today. Jesus calls us to a higher level of following. Jesus calls us to follow him closely, to know him intimately, to learn more about him day by day. Jesus asks us to deny ourselves so that we can ultimately accept him. So I guess the only question that I'll leave you with is, are you following Jesus, or are you following Jesus? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the ability to speak here at Fairland, and I thank you for the example that you lay out for us through your scripture. Lord God, I pray as we follow you that you might transform our lives from the inside out, that we can understand your values and what you taught, and understand that there is so much that we have to put into that, but it's okay, because ultimately it means getting to know you better. It means getting to follow you stronger. It means getting to be in your light and your presence as much as we can. Lord God, I thank you for this congregation. I thank you for their willingness to come here and to learn and to be a part of your word and to be a part of this family, so that we can find that there is that time to be authentic and there is that time to gather together to deny ourselves and to be in these moments as a family together. Lord God, I thank you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.